Thank you for spending your Tuesday, the 4th of December, with KHSU and with Art Waves. I'm Wendy Butler. Two interviews. Later in the program, Monica Coyne, sculptor and blacksmith. She's one half of the current exhibition titled In This Moment on display at Black Fawn Gallery in Eureka. First on Art Waves today, Ferndale Repertory Theater and Humboldt Light Opera Company present A Christmas Story, the musical, with music and lyrics by Tony Award-winning and Academy Award-nominated songwriting team Benj Pasek and Justin Paul, and with book by Joseph Robinette. A Christmas Story, the musical, premiered on Broadway in 2012 and was critically acclaimed and nominated for 3 Tonys. The Ferndale Repertory and Humboldt Light Opera Company show is at Ferndale Repertory Theater through December 16th. It is produced by Lyra Satloff and directed by Carol Ryder, who is one of my guests. Also here are Paul Vandenbranden, who plays Ralphie, and Jory McComas, who plays Ralphie's dad, otherwise known as the old man. I begin the interview by asking Carol to talk about the similarities and differences with the 1983 film on which the musical is based.
You, of course, have your bunny suit, and you have your bullies, and you have your swearing, and you have things like that. Well, not quite. It's fudge, but... You have some of those iconic, all the iconic moments in the musical, but it's made different because the music heightens the characters and heightens the situations.
When you say music heightens it, how does it do that? Because of the pace or?
Yes, and just the tonality of the music itself. Pasek and Paul have done a really good job in illustrating the characters, I think. And they wrote it in 2012, which is before their popularity became more universal with La La Land. And then they also did Dear Evan Hansen, which is a Tony Award winner. This musical has a lot of modern sounds in it, lots of different dissonances and chromatics. And fortunately, we have Paul as our Ralphie because it's really, really difficult music for the kids.
All right. Well, then let's go over. Let's talk about character. Starting with Paul. You're playing the character of Ralphie. But let me ask you this before you start talking about this production. Were you familiar with A Christmas Story before you were a part of this production?
Sort of. I mean, I knew the bunny suit stuff. Yeah. I got the main idea of it. I knew he wanted a BB gun really bad. I knew you'll shoot your eye out, all that stuff. I knew the basics of it pretty much, yeah.
So Carol was saying that it's a challenging piece,
yeah.
Vocally.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about how so. How is it different or challenging for you, Paul?
Well, the vocal range is huge. There are low parts, there are really high parts in some of the songs. And there's fast music, there's slow music happening all the time. You have to change tunes because like almost all the tunes are pretty much different, so you have to get used to that. There's so many songs in it too, and they're all hard to do. Yeah, but I like it.
And he's also on stage 95% of the time. He has the most music. It's amazing.
Do you have to do any changes on stage?
No, but I do a lot of quick changes off stage.
Yeah. Well, what other performances have you been in?
Well, this is my Ferndale debut. I've done the Kidco, all that stuff for a couple of years. And at my old charter school, we did James and the Giant Peach. I was James, and an interpretation of Alice in Wonderland, and I was Lewis Carroll, and then little parts throughout the other years that I was at school.
Let's talk about Ralphie, how your perception of who Ralphie is.
Well, he's this boy, you know. he's a lot like all of us, really. I mean, yeah, he wants something for Christmas, like a lot of us do every year.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, he's really a sweet boy. You don't always see it at every part with some bad behavior with a flat tire and stuff, but, you know.
Oh, you mean the words.
The words.
That he says, yeah. But he's just taking after his father.
Yeah.
He's using his father as a role model.
Yeah. but it all comes down, like, to how, like, the family love, it's always there. You can always find it there. You don't always have it at all times, but you can always get it out. And people think, oh, it's about a BB gun and a kid that wants a BB gun in a bunny suit, but it's not about that. It's about how, it's about the family and how family love is amazing and awesome and how it makes everyone come together and feel really great.
Nice. And it's also incredibly, it's also very, very funny.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Very,
yeah.
Very funny. Laugh out loud funny.
Yeah.
And Jory, your character, you play the old man. Is your character called the old man in the play?
Yes.
Okay. My old man. The old man. Okay.
The old man.
I never even thought of that. I guess that's true.
That's the way the narrator refers to him constantly. Yeah. He's a father. I think he's a little bit frustrated with his job and doesn't feel like he's recognized for the genius that he is or for who he wants to be or always had aspired to be. He's a little frustrated in his situation in life, but through the show, he comes to realize that his family is the most valuable thing he has and that he's really, he's blessed and gifted with this fantastic family.
That's interesting because that's not really, is that clearer in the songs that they've put together that this team has put together? Because it's not clear, that aspect of it's not clear when you just watch the film.
No, and that's the big difference between the film and the musical is that, you know, the very end of it is just incredibly sweet. And it's mostly because of the music that is written right there.
What's your, Jory, old man, what's your favorite song to perform in it and why? And I want to ask Paul about this too.
My favorite song is A Major Award, and I think it tested me the most. I do a dance with the leg in this kind of a dreamlike Academy Award sequence where I feel like I'm finally being recognized for my greatness. And that was really a challenge for me. My heart was beating out of my chest and feeling very nervous about singing. And the song goes from 4/4 to 3/4 time during the song, which was really difficult for me to get. I'm not reading music is not something I have a lot of experience with. But great musical direction and a lot of practice and rehearsal really helped me solidify that. And now I'm at a point where I'm really excited to do that song every night, and it's fun to get as big and crazy with it as I can in order to, you know, make it kind of a dream moment for the father and maybe get a laugh out of the crowd.
There's a lot of fantasy sequences that are really, really fun. Ralphie has a big one with Ralphie to the rescue that it's a huge, you know, fantasy sequence. Then there's Jory's Major Award. And
so, Paul, is that one of your favorite songs? Is it Moffat to the Rescue?
Ralphie.
Ralphie to the Rescue.
Yeah. That song's fun to do all the time. Yeah.
Is that something that other actors are involved with, or is this a solo thing for you?
Pretty much the entire cast, except for the kids. Because, like, it's kind of based on, like, this Wild Western scene, and I'm a cowboy with my BB gun and, like, driving away all the bandits. It's fun to do it's really good song. It's really catchy. If you go to the show, you'll find that you're probably going to be singing it for the next week. Yeah.
Well, what's an example of a line from it? You could say it or sing it.
Ralphie to the rescue. Oh.
That is catchy. Ralphie to the rescue. Oh, oh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Is that your favorite one, or is there a different song that is your favorite to perform?
I like Red Ryder Carbine Action BB Gun, because, I mean, it's not super long, but the vocal range in there is incredible. Like, at the end, you have this giant high D, and it has, it just, like, the action in it just never stops, and it's just keeps on going, and there's always this energy, and, like, I think the crowd just feels like an energy, too, because it's, like, really a fun song to do, and it's a great, well-written song, I think, with funny lyrics sometimes. Yeah.
How about the two of you, Ralphie and his old man? Do you sing a song together? You do?
Yeah. Well,
I'm in Ralphie to the Rescue, and it's singing in that portion as well.
Well, like the two of you, though.
The Parker family.
Yeah, the Parker family sing along, but there's nothing that's specific just to Ralphie and his father. Only.
Yeah, there's between me and my brother, we have a song, we have a duet. And that one's really sweet. I like that song.
And that's another thing that is a development of the relationship between the two brothers, because they're really, it isn't clear, you know.
No, and they definitely they're the way that Paul and Caden work together, they're very sibling-like. And it's really fun to watch because they're just always bugging each other. And the music that they have together is very sweet. The one that's after the fight of the mother and dad is a pretty poignant song. It's a really wonderful piece.
Now, this is a collaboration. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the correct word to use, but collaboration between Humboldt Light Opera Company and Ferndale Repertory Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the second one that you've done?
It's the first one.
The very first one. I thought that there was... Okay, so this is the very first collaboration. So what makes it a collaboration?
Well, when Lyra came to us and asked us if we wanted to collaborate with this, because it's a big show for them, and they just finished a big show. And so it was a great situation for us because we don't have that many productions a year. And so it was good because we could provide several different things. Melissa Hines did the choreography. Amy Chalfant did the music. And Liz and I did the costumes. And so we were able to kind of fill in some places that and then myself as the director, you know, we were able to join the companies really well.
And plus, you have a nice stage to perform it on, given that Van Duzer Theater is not an option at this point.
No. And it was really interesting for me to have to come from Van Duzer down to the Ferndale, and just a number of people in the cast. So,
is the stage itself a lot smaller than the Van Duzer stage?
Ooh, yep,
it is. Mm-hmm. Okay.
About a third of this size, maybe.
Okay,
so it's really different technically, and then the number of people that can be backstage. I think there's 25 or 26 in the cast, which we had 25 munchkins in the last show. So it's very different in the scope and the amount of costumes and everything. So.
I'm thinking that this is one of the highlights for you, but ultimately, this production, what is a really big highlight for you, something that is very memorable for you that you're going to keep with you of doing this show, Paul?
It's fun to sing songs with them because they're all so talented, and, like, you know, being on stage with them is just fun because, like, we interact so much even when we're acting and not really saying anything, but, like, saying something, just not saying anything. But
saying something.
Backstage we interact a lot because we're all really good friends, really close friends.
Yeah.
And we're all good friends, and they're all great actors, great people to be in a show with. Yeah, it's probably the best group of kids I've worked with in a show.
And how about you? How about you, Jory? What is your what is the highlight for you of this production?
Well, it was a real goal of mine to be in a show with both of my daughters, and I think this may be the only time.
Oh, you are with your daughters? I did not know that until you just brought it up.
Both of them are in the ensemble.
Well, what are their names?
Abigail and Marin. They're 16 and 14.
And you've never been in a show with them before?
Never been in a show with them before. It's my first time back on stage in 24 years. And I had wanted to. And I feel very honored and grateful to Carol to bring me in and give me an opportunity to be on stage with them. And it really is, as Paul was saying, you know, the family, this is a real good feel story. And this entire cast and crew have all gotten along fabulously. And we've all really made friends with each other really quickly. And there's a real camaraderie backstage and on stage that I think comes through to the audience, where everybody, you know, it's not as if we're just walking on the stage and then putting on a fake smile. We have these smiles backstage as well. And most of us look forward to going to the show. And I was mentioning to Miles, who plays Flick, you know, that I was missing the rehearsals. And it was nice to be back at rehearsals because I missed this group of people. They were really a lot of fun to be with. And very supportive of each other.
Jory McComas. Also here have been Paul Vandenbranden and Carol Ryder. A Christmas Story, the musical. Fridays and Saturdays at 8 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. through December 16th. However, the Sunday, December 9th performance is sold out. For information and tickets, you can phone 786-5483 or visit ferndalerep.org. I'm Wendy Butler, and this is Art Waves on KHSU. Next up, Monica Coyne, blacksmith and sculptor, who has created unusual figurative works from forged steel. The sculptures are part of an exhibit titled In This Moment, at Black Fawn Gallery in Eureka through December 29th. Also part of the exhibit are abstract paintings by Leslie Price. Monica Coyne is my guest.
What a blacksmith does that's different from a lot of other metal workers is they take the steel bar, heat it up to about 2,000 degrees, and then move it like clay. And so it's not a cast situation where the bar is melted and poured, or a situation where you're cutting it up and welding it together. You're actually heating it up and softening the bar enough so that you can move it. And you can't move it with your hands. You have to move it with tools that you make. And those tools are basically extensions of your hands. For me, I mean, that is really my first inspiration, and my real love of this medium is just how I can move it, you know, and how I can, when I push the tools into the material, it swells. And just in watching the material change as I maneuver the tools in it has just, you know, excited me and led me to kind of push myself into creating different forms.
Now, something sort of comparable might be a potter.
Right.
Working on a wheel, you know, working with clay.
Right. Right.
But of course, it's a very different experience because in that sense, you do touch it.
Right.
But in
right.
yours, you can't because you'll burn your fingers off.
Right, right. And also you have a time limit because you heat it up, you know, and it's red and then it's orange and then it's yellow and it's okay. It's hot enough to move the material. You take it off, you work it, and then it's cooling as you work it. And then you have to return it to the fire and heat it up again. So that it's this almost this dance of this back and forth with the piece from the fire to the anvil and back again.
All right, so we're looking at a work that is in the show, and the way it's displayed on the Black Fawn Gallery website is from at least two different perspectives. And so the second perspective, I'm looking at two lower halves of human form, as if they are walking away from one another.
Mm-hmm.
They're being pulled or pushed apart.
Right.
So the figure we're looking at reminds me of what you were talking about, Monica, with making something lighter.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking, this is steel Mm-hmm. This is steel. Yes. And it is light looking mm-hmm. because of the parts that you constructed it with and the figures kind of wafting away. Mm. Right. And so I'm thinking that's what you're going for.
Right.
What is the title of this figure?
The title is Landing Waved Off, like a plane when it would land and be waved off, you know. And because it's a kinetic piece. And so in this picture there, it's flat, but it spins around and one side will come up and the other side goes down. And the figures, you know, they express the idea that they want to land, but they can't land. So, and as it spins around, it keeps getting close and then lifting off.
Now, is it going to spin continuously? Or when you say spin, does it spin if we touch it and make
right.
it spin?
Right, if you make it spin.
So yeah. You're okay with audiences coming in and
yeah.
pushing the figures and making them spin?
Yeah, that's one of the great things about steel. It's really tough, you know. It's hard to hurt it.
And I would think then in that sense, you definitely want to encourage people to do that because
yeah.
you say kinetic, you want this to move and,
right.
and give your title.
Right. That's something about my work with steel is I want people to feel like they want to touch it. I want it to be inviting to touch.
And how large, is this one on average, your pieces?
So this piece, all told, it's 30 by 30 about, you know, but it's kinetic, so it changes shape. But on its greatest dimension, it's 30 by 30.
Okay, so 30 inches by 30 inches.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so that's 2.5 feet.
Right, right.
Okay.
And the part of my, you know, what I've done as a blacksmith over the course of my career has been to work a lot with joinery and removable joinery. So this piece also has a center piece there that has where the two come apart and there's a wedge that you knock in that holds it together. And so the top bar sits on a pin and that's what allows it to spin around. And then the other two bars are put together with removable joinery.
You said you have a total of 10 or 7. You have a total of 7 works in the show?
Right. The show is a series of these figurative forms that are coming out of parent bar, basically. And what I mean by parent bar is steel stock, mild steel stock that came, you know, from the steel yard. I'm fascinated by the way people perceive things and even myself and how I perceive things, you know? And so when I'm in my shop, I take a piece of bar, you know, that I bought or I found at the salvage yard. And, I try to work that bar in a way where I'm tricking my mind till I get to a point where I look at it and I say, oh, that's a hand, that's a leg, or, you know, it's a face. And I mean, it's still just a piece of metal bar that's been worked. But in my mind, if I can do it, you know, well, I can trick myself into seeing something different in that bar. And so, and I think that, you know, we're very malleable as far as our perception as humans. I mean, we can look at a stick figure and say, oh, that's a human form. But for me, when I'm working in this way, I'm fairly critical of myself. And what I want to see is not, you know, necessarily two arms and two legs and a head, but I want to see, you know, fat and ribs and skin, you know, or bones protruding in places where you expect them to, you know. And so that's what I'm going for. And I'm so in my shop, when I'm moving the steel around, I'm looking for forms that all of a sudden I'll go, oh, whoa, you know, there's a muscle right there.
And that happens when you have it in the fire and you start manipulating it.
Yeah.
And then something will come up and you'll see it.
Right.
And then you'll want to keep it.
Right. Right.
Because it works.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And so in this series of pieces are all figurative pieces that I won the Victor Jacobi Award in January from the Humboldt Area Foundation, which allowed me, before that I had done mostly commissioned architectural type work and furniture. And it really allowed me to move into, I've drawn figures for my entire life and have been interested in that, but it really gave me the freedom to explore that. And so that's what I'm doing with this show.
Okay. Yeah. So this show is a result of winning that award.
Yeah, it is.
That is the project that you have.
Yeah. I mean,
they don't
require you to do anything specific, but that's where I went with it. And it was really liberating. Now I'm doing everything I can to try and keep being able to make these pieces because they're exciting and I've been successful and I've with them.
So you didn't make these figure pieces before?
No.
What was a Monica coin piece like before?
So it was, I did a lot of functional pieces and, the same thing. I've always been intrigued by the way that the metal moves. And then on top of that, I mean, I'm trained in industrial arts here at HSU. And, so, you know, I'm interested in joinery and how things fit together, but I love the practice of forging, which the thing about forging is instead of cutting away the material to make things fit together, you actually move the material. So you're pushing the material around, which is totally different. And so I've done, a lot of, furniture and gates and railings and that kind of thing, but with along the same vein, but mostly, you would call it abstract pieces, not figurative.
Monica Coyne, whose steel sculptures are featured alongside Leslie Price's abstract paintings in an exhibit titled In This Moment, on display through December 29th at Black Fawn Gallery, 212 G Street, Eureka. Monica Coyne will give an artist talk on Saturday, December 15th at 4 p.m. at the gallery. Gallery hours are Thursdays through Saturdays, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. For more information, visit blackfawnart.com. That's all the time we have today. Art Waves is broadcast each Tuesday at 1:30 p.m., available anytime at khsu.org. And podcasts of this program are available for download from iTunes. Until next time, I'm Wendy Butler. Thank you for listening.